leggerai con calibro affascini il tuo cuore. E se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore,
ma i tuoi piedi cap 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 cap, ma i tuoi piedi cap cap cap.
Hello everybody, this is Dr. Diana Wiley and I am your host of Love, Lust and Laughter. I'm so glad to have my friend and colleague back, Dr. Lori Buckley. Lori, you're just the best, and you know how to laugh and play. I know you do. Welcome back, Lori.
I love a good laugh and some playfulness for sure. Anyway, thank you for having me. I love being on your show, so thank you.
You're welcome. Dr. Lori Buckley has a wonderful website with some wonderful, sexy stuff, too. And we're going to talk about that because this is certainly a way to play. And but her website is drloribuckley.com, and you have another website, sexystuffstore.com. Is that the best direct way for people to get your products, which we'll talk about as we go along? So laugh and play together. It is a chapter in my book, Love in the Time of Corona, and chapter 6, Laugh and Play Together. Put it in there because studies show that couples who laugh together last together. And, of course, we know that shared laughter has such a positive effect on relationship satisfaction. And, of course, laughter can lead the way to play. You know, Lori, Dr. Lori, I remember many years ago you were up here for a John Gottman presentation, weekend kind of workshop, and I remember you came, you and Alan came, and oh, we miss Alan so much. You and Alan came over to my place, and one of the things you said at the door as you left is, because we were talking about our clients, that you ask new couples, when was the last time you had any fun? And that really stuck with me. When was the last time you had any fun? You want to elaborate on that a little?
Yeah, it's a good question. But, you know, as I'm listening to you and, you know, this chapter in your book, which I love, because you're right, laughter and play is so important. I mean, it's a good question because fun, you know, whether you're having sex or whether you're eating dinner, it doesn't matter. To add some fun is so important, but it's also about playfulness. And I think another great question could be, when's the last time you had a great laugh together? Because that should be a daily practice, having a good laugh. So important, especially nowadays. We need some laughter in our life. And let's face it, being in a couple, while there's wonderful perks and it's wonderful to have a partner in life, it has its challenges. So being able to laugh together is such a healing thing. So fun and laughter and play, they're also connected, aren't they?
They're very much connected, and we are absolutely hardwired to play, and as I said earlier, and that play often leads to laughter or paves the way to laughter, but we're hardwired to play, and I think it's interesting because all animals in nature play, and at the top of the list, we got to look at dolphins. I just love to talk about dolphins. They're very sophisticated animals, and the only way they survive in a very dangerous ocean is that, you know what, they make it a priority to play every day, and they allow their children to play. They form circles around their children so that they can play without worrying about sharks. Aren't they smart? Aren't they smart?
Yes, that's so fascinating. I never knew that, but I love that. Yes, it is such an important thing. Like you said, when we're born, little kids, they do it so well. And somewhere along the line, we learn, oh, you know, we have to be serious. We're not supposed to play. And, you know, adults need to be more serious and take things seriously and be responsible. But I agree with the dolphins and you. It's play is important to survive and live this life, you know, the best that we can.
And of course, dolphins are also very sexual. I didn't have sex with a dolphin, but I was on a boat in Hawaii with a woman who said she had. She took people out on the ocean. It's quite amazing, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it was a delightful day out. It was off the island, the big island of Hawaii, and there was a big pod of dolphins, and we all got in the water with our snorkels, and they did jump around and play, and it just was the most magical experience. They're so intelligent, and I love it that they want their children to play. They know how important it is. And especially, you know, it's I have a little chapter, I have a little paragraph in my chapter about laugh and play together, and it's about unstructured play. And that has to do with engaging in play just for its own sake without any goal in mind. So that's unstructured play. And, you know, we can watch children. I remember my kids. You have a son. You probably remember him. When they're little, they just love dreaming up their own activities. They can do this without any adult guidance. In fact, they do it perhaps better.
Right.
and they get very engrossed in simply playing. And it turns out that this is very good for their brain development. There's something called neuroevolution. And so what happens is that when children are playing and their brain is rapidly developing, it's a part of the neuroevolution because it stimulates the development of new connections between brain cells as well as between different brain centers. But the good news is that play is linked to positive brain changes later in life, too. And I think this is why adults who engage in play tend to be more creative and socially adept. Now, these days, it's a little harder for some people to play. They're stuck in lockdown. Do you have any ideas, creative ideas for people who want to play a little more? If they have a partner, it's easier. But what about we'll start with if you have a partner, and then we'll talk about possible ways you can play as a single person.
Yeah, you know, what you were saying, I just want to talk about it for a moment because of the challenges. We could say the challenges are because we're in lockdown, but we also have challenges because of technology. And I think this is true with children and adults, that we can get too wrapped up in electronics. And if we are, you know, doing social media or watching movies or playing games on our, which you would think is playing because the word play, right? We're playing games, video games, that kind of thing. If we're doing that, it doesn't leave a lot of room necessarily for creativity. And I'm going to stick with creativity, whether you're in a partnership or alone. So it's kind of a creating could be making something, but could also be creating with your imagination. And there's also a lightness to it. You know, it's just, it's light. It's not so serious and it's fun. And we think about, you know, creating and fun and lightness as opposed to doing and achieving and, you know, being productive and all of those things that us serious adults do. It makes me think of The Little Prince. I love that book.
I haven't read that for years, but what made you think of The Little Prince in this regard?
If I can remember exactly, you know, he first starts out with the drawing, and he did this drawing, and he had the adult look at it, and he said something about adults don't see it, you know, in the same way. They see something very serious, and they don't have that ability as children do. I didn't say it as articulately as the book does, but the book is fantastic. It's such a beautiful book. Matter of fact, it makes me want to reread it. But yeah, so.
Yeah, me too.
So
me too.
Right?
I'm glad
so
you brought it up.
That? How do we. How do we, and I have it in Italian, it'll even challenge me more. How do we add that lightness and that playfulness and that creativity and that fun? So it could be trying to create games, you know, with your partner. It could be being sexually adventurous. I know you have some great ideas in your book. I have a card deck called CPR for Love, Connection, Passion, and Romance that has some great ideas. So, you know, you could look for ideas.
Yes, and I want to come back, finish your thought, and I want to come back to CPR for Love. I've got it right. I've got the little darling box right in front of me here, holding it in my hand.
I have your book right in front of me. So, it really is just using your imagination, which, by the way, is not just fun and creative. It'll create some playfulness and some laughter, but it can also create some eroticism, because that's what your imagination can do. So, it doesn't really matter. It could be dancing together, you know, in a very silly way. It could be doing putting on some disco music and doing some disco dancing. It could be, you know, painting on each other's bodies, which I believe you have written in your book somewhere.
Yes.
There really is no limit. And being at home actually gives us more opportunity to do that.
Yes, absolutely. And it could make all the difference because... cortisol, and so many people are producing this neurohormone, so much more of it these days during the pandemic. And we know that cortisol is not just bad for our mental health, but also for our physical health. And there are some toddlers these days who've been studied, and they're exhibiting higher levels of cortisol and stress. And it's very concerning in childhood when this develops. One of the best antidotes to that is play, because play releases the opposite in the sense that it releases neurochemicals. One is called serotonin. We all know about serotonin. And so when children discover new things and make inventions and creations, they get a little hit of serotonin. And when they play together, you know, you can see children playing tag or hide and seek, maybe a little less these days if they don't have other children to play with. Mm-hmm. But if they do, or they have a sibling that's in quarantine with them, they get oxytocin. And, of course, this is the neurohormone of love and bonding and trust. And this oxytocin actually grows our brain cells, and it's called neurogenesis. It's just fascinating. I think it's so fascinating,
really,
all the things our brains can do and how important it is to play as a child. Can you remember playing as a child and what you especially liked?
Yeah, I was an only child for the most part. I had some half-siblings that were much older, so I didn't grow up with them. So I grew up as an only child, and I was alone. So I remember I would have, make up friends, imaginary friends, and I would play with them, and I would play teacher with, I remember I would sit my cat and my dog down, and I would be the teacher, they would be the students, but using my imagination, playing, with the tea set, having a tea party with my imaginary friend. It sounds kind of sad in some ways, but we didn't have, all of the things that we have now. We didn't have iPads and those kinds of things. So forced to do something. Of course, I had friends. I was able to go, when I got a little older, go down the street and play with my friends, which we don't really do that these days. So that's scary. That's what's scary, right? The kids, one, they're oftentimes are in front of a screen. I mean, they're doing that all day for school if they're school age these days. And they aren't necessarily interacting with other children. And when do they really have an opportunity to use their imagination unless their parents are guiding them in that way, which hopefully they are.
Yes.
It's hard to do, though,
Yes.
Their parents are working. It's hard. It's so hard.
It's very hard.
Yeah. What about you, Diana? Do you remember when you were a kid?
Oh, I sure do. And I have a younger sister, and we played a lot. And we played, this is politically incorrect now, but we played Cowboys and Indians because we would fight about who would play Roy Rogers and who would play, I've forgotten the other. I'm too old now. I've forgotten the other cowboy that was so. But anyway, we would play Cowboys and Indians.
Something, but yeah, that was because those were the movies that were playing, right? There's the Cowboy and Indian movies, and
we would make up all kinds of things. And I spent summers at the Idyllwild School of Music and the Arts, which was a wonderful thing. My grandmother helped found the school, so we got to go free. And I was very much involved in theater, and even as a younger person, as a preteen and teenager. And of course, when you're acting, oh, by the way, this is an interesting aside. When you're acting and you're in another person's role, I mean, you're in the role of another person,
mm-hmm.
it can increase empathy as your empathy develops, because you have to really understand the character and play it out. But anyway, I was the oldest of all the cousins, and the parents would come up on weekends, and we got to go to the school, and we got to do art and music and theater, and I can remember being the director and the producer and kind of the bossy little girl, but I would direct my younger cousins in a play, and every weekend we'd have a new play to present for our parents. And so that was very creative and fun.
Yes. And by the way, that's something I think that we could do now. Families, adults, kids, do little shows together. Sing songs.
Do little shows together. Especially and add music to it if you have any musical talent in the family, or even if you don't, they just want to play along and maybe develop some talent.
Yes.
Yes.
It's all about fun. You can even put it on YouTube if you want. I have a client who does that, and oh my God, they do this family with his kids. They do the cutest videos, and they're going to have those videos forever, and they have said you can tell they just have such a good time producing them and creating them. And I mean, so that's kind of fun. There's really no end to the things that you can do, right? Or acting out a play, or creating your own little skit, or whatever that might be. So important.
Yeah, and children, and if they do a lot of it in their childhood, they're more likely perhaps to be able to play as an adult. But you know, watch children, they do what they enjoy: drawing, singing songs, building forts, or making messes in the kitchen. I have a 8-year-old grandson who is not only is he a good artist, but he loves to cook in the kitchen. He's already mastered crepes and donuts.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. And he's only 8.
Great.
And but he just loves to, and his mother, my daughter, encouraged this. Because making messes in the kitchen is a way to learn how to cook. But children go at these things with total enthusiasm. And oftentimes adults lose this. During the pandemic, we have even more excuses, but, you know, in general, when you spend your days making a living and keeping your household in order and tackling dozens of other adult obligations, doing something just for fun, well, it feels almost, for some people, I've heard this from my clients occasionally, it feels irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. Right? Those messages that we get. You're an adult, act like an adult, you have responsibilities, you know, don't act silly, don't be silly. Like, we get all of these messages that take away that innate playfulness that you're talking about. And when we can remember to play, which is you know, why this topic is so important, it changes mm-hmm. a lot of things. Like you said, neurologically, it can change us, certainly psychologically, but it can really benefit our relationships when we are able to not take everything so seriously and have that lightness and that playfulness. And you can make any moment playful. You could be in the middle of a drag out fight and conflict and you can make a joke out of it. Although, you know, you have to be careful. Timing is everything. But there are times when, you know, adding a little levity will just change the butter out. So there are always opportunities to add some playfulness. And it's a good reminder, especially now, but always really, that to remember to play, even in work. I think people who approach work in from a level of play, like, hey, I am playing to win here, rather than, oh, I have to make this deal, whatever it might be, it just changes the way you approach it. And I do think that you can have more success approaching it that way.
Oh, I agree with you.
Sometimes you don't win the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
I wanted to bring up what I think is an amazing example, and it's Dr. Marion Diamond's studies. She died a couple of years ago, but in about 1992, when I was living in Palo Alto, I went to Stanford University, and I heard her lecture about her rat studies, and I was fascinated, and she showed slides of rats' brains, but she was the neuroscientist who gave new meaning to use it or lose it. She provided, have you ever heard of her, Marion Diamond?
The name sounded familiar, like I knew the name, but I wouldn't have been able to tell you what she had done.
Yes.
So well, this is
for me, it's fascinating, and it really does figure into our conversation today. Because she was considered a foundational figure in modern neuroscience, and by the way, when she died a couple of years ago, she was 90, so that gives you perspective. Mm-hmm. She first published her studies in the 60s, and so she provided the first hard evidence demonstrating the brain's plasticity, its ability to develop, to grow, even in adulthood. And, you know, before we've heard that plasticity, I hope I'm saying it right, we've heard that phrase a lot now, but before her studies, there was a lot of discussion about nurture or nature. And, and before that, there were, well, you're born with genes, and this is going to be what kind of ground you and determined your life. But she said, no. So she found that the cerebral cortexes of the rats who had enriched cages, as opposed to the poor little rats who lived all alone without any other rats to play with, and she showed these in slides, I remember so well, versus the ones who had enriched environments, and they had things to play, and they got out of their cages, and they had other rats to play with, and very creative things to play with. And she found that the cerebral cortices of the rats in enriched cages were about 6% thicker than the rats in the impoverished cages. And so that's when we got the use it or lose it thing, because she, in the papers and lectures, and she talked to a lot of people. I will never forget this lecture. I was just fascinating.
I mean, it's fascinating now. Even
now,
though
it's
know
fascinating.
So much more.
I know.
But then, it was mind-boggling.
Mind-blowing. She now yeah. here's I just want to just mention that she outlined five factors crucial to brain development at any age, and these were diet, exercise, a challenge, newness, and the last was love. And the last point was a little surprising for a laboratory researcher, but she stumbled upon the fifth factor while performing her experiments with lab rats, and they weren't living long enough for her to study their brains in old age. She made a trip. She made a trip to Germany. I hope I have the details of this right, because this is from memory. And there was she had a colleague in Germany who was also doing rat studies on looking at brains using rats. But this German scientist was able to get his rats to live much longer. And so the difference was touch. So
human touch?
Yes, and I'm going to explain this. So in her studies, even though the cages were well cleaned and they got out every day to play, her rats were dying after about 600 days or roughly 60 years in human life time, human time span. But some were living much longer. So what she found out is that it was touch. So she would hold the lab rats, and she got her lab students to do the grad students to do this too. Holding the lab rats against her lab coat and petting them each day. I remember so well. Stroke your rat. It's a good thing. Stroke your rat.
Right. Yes.
She found that she could increase their lifespan, and found that these rats generally had thicker cerebral cortices. Isn't that fascinating?
It's fascinating. I have another fascinating rat fact that I believe is a real fact, and tell me what you know about this. But, you know, as a psychologist, as you know, we all had lab rats. I mean, you can't become a psychologist without going through some course where you have a lab rat. And I remember my lab rat, I loved her. I named her Linda after my sister, who she didn't appreciate it at the time, but it was because I loved her. But, you know, at the end of it, they're like, you don't have to take your rat, but we're going to feed it, you know, to the snakes, basically, or you can take your rat home. Of course, I took Linda home because I loved her. But the thing, long story short, what happened was they told us this story about rats that there was some study, I don't know how they did it, some lab circumstance. I didn't do it. You know, we just did like a maze kind of a Skinner situation. But they said that they could tell that if you tickled the rats, that they laughed. You don't hear them laugh under normal circumstances, but they were able to create it in a lab environment where they could tell that the rats were actually laughing. So once I heard that, I was like, oh, my God, rats are so cool. I love rats, but they are so smart.
I do, too. And my daughter and son-in-law allowed their boys, they live in Canada, to have a rat as a pet. And then in the summer, they kept the rat. But then during the school year, the rat was in the classroom, and it got a lot of attention from all the children.
They do love attention, and you know, people like a rat. They're not like a sewer rat. I mean, they don't look like that. They're fluffy and white and beautiful and sweet, and they do. I remember mine. She would love it. I would give her these little yogurt treats, and they really love human attention. And they don't bite, but I like, you know, guinea pigs. People think, oh, guinea pigs or hamsters. Those are good pets. They're not as friendly as rats. So,
not as friendly. That's
yay
right.
Yay to the rats. Yay.
Well, rats are more intelligent.
So smart.
And their brains are remarkably like human brains. And that's why Dr. Diamond did her studies on rats. And I remember the the slides that she showed and the rats that had lived in an enriched environment with all the playthings and other rats to play with, their brains looked like jungles. And the rats who lived alone in a cage, impoverished, those rats, their brains look like deserts, just like deserts. Yeah.
The lesson here is
yes, the lesson
to, you know, to look like would you say forest?
A jungle.
Jungles. We want our brains to look like jungles. And yes, to keep learning, to keep expanding, to keep challenging, to keep playing, to keep loving, because you know that was the really cool part of that story, that she found out that even with all of the wonderful playful things and all the things in their environment, it was the love that also really made a difference. So what a great story that is.
Yes. And actually, that's a pretty good segue, Lori, for us to talk about the lack of touch that many people that are quarantining alone are receiving. And that's why this is a good segue into your Love My Vulva. I also have that in front of me because I've been using this product. I love it.
Oh, thank you. I love it too. I use it too. Yeah. So self-touch and sexual touch, certainly. But just touch, you know, we talked about this once before, giving yourself a hug. It really is important to do. And I have not had physical touch from a human for probably 6 months, right? So April, May, June, July, August. Yeah, about 6 months. That's a long time without human touch. I do have my cat, and her and I snuggle, and that makes a difference, I feel. We breathe together.
Oh, it does. But human touch, you must be longing for some human touch.
I mean, certainly. It would be nice. I do imagine I will have some human touch at some point in the very near future. But in the meantime, I am keeping myself very busy. I'm creating things, and I'm enjoying my time here. But it is important to, you know, to touch yourself. As a matter of fact, this morning I took I bought the mirror. Are you familiar with the mirror?
No, I'm not.
It's fascinating. So I'll set up in my house. I've got my Peloton and I got my mirror. The mirror is, not to give a commercial here, no sponsorship or affiliate thing going on, but it's this exercise. It's a mirror and it's like a computer and you can take exercise classes. And I've been longing for a massage because I usually get massages, but I haven't had a massage, obviously, in 6 months either because of the pandemic. So this morning I took a roller class. And I don't know if you're familiar with rollers. They're like foam rollers, and you basically rub your body on them in a way where you're almost like getting a massage. And and I was thinking as I was doing that, I thought, wow, this is important. So we can massage ourselves, but something like a roller, which you don't need to take a class for, but it's kind of nice. I imagine that they have them online. You don't need to have the mirror. But to be able to kind of, you know, put this roller on your body and roll out your muscles and get that kind of stimulation is probably important. Or to hug yourself or just to touch yourself. And certainly self-pleasuring is always important. We talked about it. You were on my radio show recently. We talked about orgasms. And orgasms are really important, too, for all of our functioning, right?
Oh, yes. And yes, and you just sent me the link for that show, and I haven't had the time to listen, but I want to listen. But people
it's
can
good.
Hear it if they people can hear that show by going tell them where to go.
The easiest way to do it is you could do it on iTunes. You could find it on iTunes. It's called Looking for Love and More, or you could just go to my website. It's called StuffOfLove.com. Go to stuffoflove.com and you go to the sex ed page. There's a podcast player. It has all the podcasts listed there, and you will find it at the top of the list right now. So, it's really good. I listened to it when it was all edited and done, and I really enjoyed it. So that was a fun show. We always have fun when we speak with one another.
We do. That's why you're such a frequent guest. Yes, for sure. And you're so knowledgeable and so open. And And so creative. Let's talk about the way, a little more in depth about the ways that you've been creative. This Love My Vulva, we did talk about this in a previous show a little bit in terms of its history, how it came to be. But I just love it. It's so stimulating and also moisturizing, and it's like tingling. And tell us about Love My Vulva and what's in it and why it's such a lovely product.
Yeah, I saw a need. You know, I would have my clients and a lot of couples with what is called desire discrepancy, where the woman might have, sometimes it's the man, but generally speaking, the woman doesn't have the same amount of desire. She doesn't feel like she has the desire to have sex anymore. Of course, you and I know, and I do, you know, obviously inform my clients that they may not have spontaneous desire, but they do have responsive desire. So sometimes we need to be, or often or always even, women generally need to be stimulated to be aroused. And then after they're aroused, that's when the desire comes. So, you know, once they start to understand this, it's like, oh, okay, how do they get stimulated? And there's obviously lots of ways to get stimulated. Sometimes it's listening to music. Sometimes it's, you know, a nice gift or just some attention and feeling adored and appreciated by a partner. But sometimes it's just literally having that physical sexual touch. But even then, sometimes it's hard to kind of get that desire going. And so I started quite some time ago, many years ago, prescribing vulva massages. And it was something that would get their juices flowing. They were getting the attention, and there was no expectation. And I do have how to give a vulva massage also on my website, stuffoflove.com. You can get it for free. You can just download it. And It was working. It really was working. And then, you know, and then I was realizing a lot of women were having, you know, difficulty with moisture or dryness. And I thought, wouldn't it be great? Because I would always say coconut oil, which I still think is a great thing to give a vulva massage. You have to have something. Don't do a dry vulva massage. You have to have some kind of a lubricant. And the oil is really nice because it feels good. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to have a product that would be a great moisturizer, it's natural, it was good for our vulvas, but would also, you know, be great for a massage so it doesn't sink right into your skin. It has that ability to really last for a while like an oil, but also could be stimulating to enhance our desire. And so that's how it happened. I saw that need. I saw how effective the vulva massage was, and I thought, wouldn't it be great to have something to just amp it up? So that's what I created, Love My Vulva. And it you know, it does have a little spearmint, some ylang ylang. It has some beautiful, you know, ingredients in there. And no glycerin, no, you know, paraffins, nothing that is harmful for us. It's all good. That gives our vulva some moisture. It feels wonderful, and it's tingly, and it just kind of creates this, sometimes it feels cooling, sometimes it feels warming, but it gets that blood flowing, and it is a great way to really amp up that desire and have better orgasms. I didn't really think about having better orgasms. That's just what I'm hearing. Yeah, and experiencing, if I'm going to be really honest. It's like, oh, yeah, sure. It really does. Yeah. That wasn't my goal, but it was just one of the things that it does, surprisingly.
Well, I think that you can take the Love My Vulva, which I think is way better than coconut oil because it's the viscosity is better, and I love the spearmint tingle. But you can go from the labia and stimulate the clitoris with this wonderful product, Love My Vulva, and then go on to a sex toy. And it is great individual foreplay, I think. And because you've already started to get the blood flowing, and so then when you add to it a sex toy, this is a good place for you to mention a couple of your best-selling sex toys on your website.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the toys that I know you have tried that is one of my favorites is the Lilo Sona Cruise. Yes. And that is specifically for, it's not like a vibrator. It is really about clitoral suction almost. And
yes.
I mean, like literally, actually, it really does suck on it. And there's all different kinds of patterns and all different kinds of intensities. I would say start out with the lowest one and work your way up. And it's really kind of amazing. And you got that with your Love My Vulva, and you are going to have some great orgasms. And it really is so stimulating. Another thing that I like that I recommend, and right now, actually, I do have a bundle special on my website that if you get the Cristalino, is it Cristalino or Cristalino? I think it's Cristalino glass dildo and the Sona Cruise, you do save a certain percentage. So it is bundled right now. But that's kind of nice too, to be able to have some G-spot stimulation with the dildo. And you've got the clitoral stimulation and you've got my vulva. Oh my God. So if you are having some difficulty experiencing like some really good orgasms, that's going to do the trick. I don't see how it couldn't. The combination.
I agree.
Of all of that.
I agree with you.
And this
is so, so important for people to have these orgasms if you're alone or if you have a partner and you want to get warmed up for your partner so that you're more receptive. I'm always glad when you talk about responsive versus spontaneous desire, because we as sex therapists know that for so many women, arousal does precede desire. So they get aroused and then the desire may kick in. But if you use these other tools, toys, moisturizing, stimulating, Love My Vulva too, then you have, and picking the right toy and experimenting with others. So what's another toy that you like? You have a bundled special. You mentioned that.
Yeah, with the glass.
And all of this can be found on sexystuffstore.com?
No, stuffoflove.com.
Yeah, sorry. You know, I think I had an old one there.
Yeah. You know why? Because it used to be named that, and I didn't like that. I changed it to Stuff of Love because it's about love. And yes, there's a lot of sex stuff on there, but thank you for that. Yeah, there's just a lot of different things. So, you know, there's so many different things that you can try, and it is about really, like you said, experimenting and seeing what works. You know, I have penis rings on there, which I'm a big fan of, for not just for men who are having difficulty maintaining an erection, although it's incredible for that, but also can just change a sexual experience. Men can have more enjoyable orgasms and they can have, you know, really hard erections. And so they kind of like it. It's just another toy, and men don't generally have those toys, you know?
That's right.
And they do exist. And there's a lot of different ways that you can really play and experience different things. Another thing I have there, speaking of play, is, well, we have my CPR deck, which is also, I think, a way to add some fun into an evening. And that, you know, can be about, except for example, some of the cards, it's 90 different cards, and they have things on there either around connection, romance, or passion. You can pick and choose, or you can just grab them. But, you know, like one of them is, let me see, I'm going to look for one here. So create your sexual alter egos and then have sex in character. Read erotica to each other, to your partner while they suck your toes or whatever they want to suck. Pretend you're
both
virgins.
Oh, I love that one.
It's a good one, right? Pretend you're both virgins having sex for the first time. Oh, this one I like too. Each of you create a new sexual technique and try it out on each other.
And a new one, yes.
The treat of their choice. So it's kind of fun. And then I also have a game. And I know you like games too. In your book, you talk about
Enchanting Evening,
Enchanted Evening, yes. And it's an oldie but a goodie. That's such a great game. And then there's a new one that I have. I love it so much. I have it on my store. It's called Our Sex Game. And it's cute. It says anything but a board game, B-O-R-E-D. But it is a board.
Oh, yes. That's good. Yes.
it's really fun. And what the board spells out is the word sex, and S is for seduction, E is for erotic, and X is for X-rated. So you kind of work your way up. So, you know, games, like you said, there could be the structured play, which would be something like a board game or something like a card deck. But also to have the unstructured play, where I think some of the things you said, like a pillow fight, I think you mentioned in your book.
Yeah.
You know, like those things are so much fun. But also experimenting, or even, and I, one of my cards even says this too, you know, go shopping online and find a sex toy together or sex toys, and, you know, have an evening devoted to trying out new things and experimenting. And there's so many things you can discover. Oh, I do have to mention something I discovered, which just goes to show you, you can always learn and experience new things, no matter how experienced or how old you are. So one thing that I discovered as I was, you know, searching for toys, all the toys were, you know, tested and curated by me. I handpicked them all and tried pretty much them all. And there was one, it's called the Arc, and it is a vibrator for your G-spot, which I never understood. I never understood why you would stick a vibrator in your vagina. And I would always say, you know, there's no reason to have anything vibrating inside your vagina. I would say that because I didn't understand it. But I'll tell you, I tried this Arc, which is a G-spot vibrator, and I discovered new things about myself and about what that could mean. And it was kind of amazing. Have you ever done that? Have you ever tried a G-spot vibrator?
Yes, and I go back years because my friend, Candida Royale, had a toy, a line of toys that she developed with some Dutch researchers, and there was one toy, and I'm going back maybe 30 years,
close
to that, and it was called the Ultime, and it was a vibrator that went up and then hooked around. Now the G-spot toys are much more sophisticated and more quiet than the Ultime. But I'm telling you, that was my discovery way back then about my G-spot. I didn't know that I had a responsive G-spot, and I learned that I did by using this toy 30 years ago. And then if you're lucky enough to have a partner who's also knows your G-spot and doesn't need a GPS to find it, you know, a partner can also do delicious things for the G-spot. With fingers and even during certain positions with intercourse and all of that. So the G-spot, let's just explain the G-spot a little bit for listeners that may not know. It's inside the vagina, anterior wall. So it would be, for most women, it's just under the belly button, right?
Kind of up in front. It's like if you put your fingers in your vagina and you go forward and up, like kind of go right. Does that make sense? Forward and up.
Yes, it does.
Not that
and
far
it's a
in
com-
either, but yes, below your belly button. But really, it's only like an inch or two. It's not very far in. You can reach it with your own fingers.
Yes, that's right. And it's a kind of a come here motion that you might do with your fingers.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's a good way to do it.
The G-spot can be encouraged to be responsive, and if you're kind of new to this, the G-spot when it's stimulated, it gets a little more corrugated and a little larger. It may go from the size of a dime to the size of a quarter when it's stimulated, and it can feel really good, and so women can have orgasms that are the trigasms. So they may get clitoral, they may get G-spot, they may even get some rimming around their anus, so or they may get some anal penetration, so then you get the trigasm, which can be mind-blowing, of course.
Yeah. Multiple stimulation can always be a really great thing. But you're right. I think a lot of people, where they go wrong with the G-spot is they don't realize that it, well, first of all, it's not like this big bump. It's not always so obvious, but you're right. If you're aroused, if the woman is aroused, then you can feel something. It feels like the, I would say like the top of the mouth, the roof of your mouth, those little ridges.
Yes.
But generally you can feel it much easier. Not only do you feel it much easier if you're the one touching it, if the woman is aroused, but just like anything, if we're not aroused, we don't really feel a whole lot of pleasure. We need to be aroused. We need to have some blood flow happening before it really feels good. And I do think that, I don't know if you experience this, but it seems to me that the G-spot has to be honed. And I don't know if that's the best word, but it's like at first you may not, it may feel uncomfortable and awkward and not great, almost like you have to pee, I think a lot of women say. But once you kind of get used to it and you spend some time with it, you kind of hone it and it becomes much more responsive and more pleasurable. Do you find that to be true?
Well, yes, and that's what happened for me 30 years ago when I used Candace's, Candida Royale's Old Team. I remember she gave it to me
what a gift.
In Paris at the World Congress for Sexology, and I got to meet the Dutch engineers and designers, too. And so my Old Team was really... had a special place in my toy chest for a while, and now they're much more sophisticated toys and more quiet ones and more comfortable ones, and there's so many possibilities there, and it requires an openness and experimental
playfulness,
and maybe even in general. Before we run out of time, I wanted to, because I mentioned this in my book, creative silliness. Creative silliness in life and in one's sex life may be the solution. You know, because as I point out in my book, Love in the Time of Corona, there is a three-year-old inside each of us. Just that happy, giggling three-year-old. And so... let this child come out to play so that your relationship can be rejuvenated. And, of course, this three-year-old giggly child was pointed out in Eric Burns' book, I'm Okay, You're Okay. And I do write about this in my book, The Three Ego States, the parent, the adult, and the child. And so the best sex occurs when each person is in their creative child, their playful, creative child. There's no beginning, middle, and an end. They're just playing. And what I find so interesting is that if a person was raised with a very critical parent or parents, they often have a very well-developed critical parent state, and their nurturing parent state is not as available. But a lot of times people will drink or do other drugs to put the critical parent to sleep so that the child can come out to play. So
allow our inner child, it's all there, right? Allow that child to come out and play. And I think it's such a great thing for our mental well-being. So important, and
silliness is
a good thing. Some people think silly is bad, like, oh, don't be silly, we shouldn't be silly, oh, I know this sounds silly. Like, no, silliness, let's go for that. Let's work on being silly, and we'll all be so much happier.
I end the chapter 6 with the word silly did not originally mean ridiculous or trivial. It comes from the old English saleg, and that's S-A-E-L-I-G, which meant prosperous, happy, and healthy. So some occasional silliness can help you enjoy all of those blessings. Prosperous, happy, and healthy.
Yes, that's so good. One thing before we end, I do want to offer the listeners a discount code. Very important.
Okay, yes, discount code.
Yes, if they do go to stuffoflove.com, and at checkout, if you put in the code LLL, which stands for Love, Lust, and Laughter, LLL save 15 and you will get 15% off on your order. So that is
so LLL. I'm going to put this in the show notes. LLL save 15.
15, the number 15. And that's good for all of September.
All of September. And so they're going to save 15%.
15% off of everything. Yeah. And if you get the bundles, then you're saving even more. So, yeah, there's some good deals there.
Well, explain now that we're talking about that. Just explain the bundle one more time.
So
get in the bundle.
I think it's 20% off. But, like, right now I know I have the bundle of the Lilo Sona Cruz and and the Cristalino dildo. And if you buy them together, you'll see it there. You'll get 20% off. And sometimes just if you're shopping and you'll choose something, I believe the ARC might have one too. It will surprise you and say, hey, if you buy this, you will save so much money. So they're sort of random and they can pop up too, but I do have those in my site as well, things that I think go together. So, you know, go experiment, search around, see what you find. And definitely I recommend couples, this is a perfect time to get some Love My Vulva and try some vulva massage. Whether you are single or in a partnership, it is something that can really amp up your sex life.
Yes, it really can. And there's another thing I love about your website, stuffoflove.com, is that you have handpicked all of these toys. And so if you go to your website, it's not going to be quite so overwhelming as Babe Land or Good Vibrations. I guess they're together now. But, but you know that these are tested by Dr. Lori. And,
yes,
and you only have
clients.
The best on the website. Only the best.
Just the best. They're guaranteed. You can chat with me. Sometimes right there and then, the chat box will pop up. You can ask me anything. If I can, I'll answer you right away. If not, I'll answer you within 24 hours. So, why not? There's some really good stuff there. But, yes, I do believe in all of the things that I'm selling. And, they get to you quickly. They're guaranteed. And they're fabulous. And like you said, the technology, I got to be honest with you, I learned a lot, and I was surprised at some of the technology that I've recently discovered. I had no idea that some of these things existed. So it's fun. It's another way to have fun. We don't have to be so
serious.
It's
another way to have fun.
They're called toys. Yes.
And we are coming to the end. We're coming to the end of the show, Dr. Lori.
And I hate saying goodbye.
Oh, me too. I wish I could see you in person. Honestly, I miss you so much. You're in Pasadena. I'm in Seattle. It's too far away.
One day soon. We will. We will see each
yes,
other again.
Yes, we will.
Give each other
and
a big, giant hug.
Yes, a big, giant hug. And also, let's send out some good vibrations of love and play to the listening audience, the dear listening audience. And this is a tough time, but you're more likely to make your stay-at-home pandemic sex, pandemic times, and have better sex if you follow some guidelines about laughter and play and get your sex toys and have more fun and games and silliness and playful sex and more touch and more vulva massages. It's all so good, Lori.
More opportunity to do that since we're all stuck at home. So why not?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So don't waste the opportunity. Thank you. Thank you, Lori, so much.
Thank you.
And,
thank you for having me on. I love you. And listeners, thanks for listening. But I just also sending out lots of good love and silliness, and I hope everybody takes your advice and plays more.
Yes, I hope so too, Lori. Thank you again, and thanks everybody for listening. Yeah, here's to more play. Here's to more play. You won't regret it. It'll bring a smile to your face. All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Happy feet. Da-da-da, happy feet. Da-da-da, happy feet. Oh, I love it.